Hey everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Final Down on NFL podcast with me, Jim, Finn, Denver Dave, and Punk Raider here talking about the NFL boys. How are we doing?
Not too bad, not too bad.
Full house.
Yeah, Dave's back. How you doing, Dave?
Apparently. No, 1 week off.
Well, you had a week off before that, so you've had 2 weeks off, basically. You've had a bye and a bye
another podcast.
Yeah. He's on a holdout.
I'll be honest, I'm shaking because I'm not used to doing 2 weeks back to back. So
yeah, the workload's getting a bit much for you, isn't it, Finn?
I'm going to have to take a break soon.
You're going to have a month off soon.
Pretty much.
We're in autopsy season. That means that, you know, we went eastbound and down last week. Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. This week we're going down south and hitting the AFC and NFC South divisions. Our 5 minute timer on each team as we go through, talk about best game, worst game, and a quick autopsy on what the hell happened to them in the season that was. We're going to start in the AFC, as we should do. It's the better division. And we're going to go in order of how they finished. Sorry, Finn, but it's true.
It's three against one, isn't it? So
yeah, we're going to go in order of how they finished. So we're going to start with the top team in the AFC South, and that was the Houston Texans. Finished 10-7. Last season, they were 3-13-1, so worst to first. No change in any of the front office. So GM, head coach, defensive coordinator, all exactly the same. Best game, worst game. Well, the best game I had for them, this is easy. They won a playoff game, 45-14, over the media darling Cleveland Browns. CJ Stroud had a 3-touchdown game. Joe Flacco got pick six twice. Worst game, got a toss-up between giving the Panthers their first win of the season, 15-13, or losing 30-6 to the Jets. I'll let you guys decide that one. But talk to me, boys, about the Houston Texans. Who wants to go first about how impressive they were?
I'm quite happy to. I had the best game and the worst game matching you. With the worst game, I had Carolina because CJ Stroud only threw for 140 yards.
Yeah.
Rebounded the next week and had 470 yards. So they lost in week 8. And CJ Stroud didn't throw under 300 yards until week 13. So, losing to the Panthers cures what ails you because they were really good after that. Really simple for the Texans. At the beginning of the season, Punk and I agreed massively that it's just about progression. Boy, did we see progression.
Yeah.
With the amount of cap space we've got, now it's time to go to that next level. They skipped about 5 levels this season, and well done to them because they were really good.
I think the thing to remember with the Texans is that if you get the quarterback right, it will help you out no end.
Yeah.
CJ Stroud, I waxed lyrical about him all during the season. I thought he was fantastic. He was making some plays that make veterans blush because they can't do them, Jimmy? But, I think what we need to do is just temper ourselves a little bit on the Texans and not be surprised if they don't take a massive leap forward next season. We'll see this quite often. I think we did it with Jacksonville last year, didn't we, James? Some of us maybe predicted Jacksonville to go to a Super Bowl.
Not
a season after running, but a season after running.
Still to make it though.
So you can almost look at this Texans team as that Jacksonville team, and I don't think they will. I don't think they'll be allowed to. I think they've got enough good players in Stingley and Stroud and Tank Dell that will just allow them to keep that level of consistency, but also, you know, maybe take that next step forward and maybe run the Ravens closer next year.
I think it's going to be, you know, like Punk just said, we're not going to see the same strive forward that they've just had. But that's because this was them advancing years and years in 1 year. And you're not going to be able to do that back to back without making immense changes, which they're not going to do because why would they? You know, nothing's broken, so why bother fixing it? So, I mean, yeah, they're going to still go forward next season, not to the same degree, but it won't take away from how impressive they've been this year. And I think it will continue next year. You look at the side that they've got and how fresh and how young that side is. You look at when they play and you wouldn't look at that side and go, they're a team with rookies. They're a team that's only just sort of come together. You look at that, particularly in the playoff game. They look like they were experienced in the playoffs. They look like they've been there plenty of time. They could handle the pressure and they just sort of threw everything that was thrown in their way throughout the season. Mm-hmm. For worst game, I also had both games that you picked, but I edged towards the Jets
Okay.
because of the fact that the Jets were on a hot losing streak, and you would expect the Texans, when they were firing, to be able to dispatch them, but to be limited to only 6 points.
Most
Well,
teams have
see,
got a bad game in them.
I
Most
think,
teams have got
yeah, but
one bad game in them.
you have to remember though, the Jets did have an elite defense. They really were a tremendously good defense last year. It's just they couldn't put any points on the board. So actually holding a rookie quarterback to 6 points doesn't surprise me that much. I think it was more surprising that the Panthers beat them, to be honest. But you know, it
Just
doesn't
with
really matter either way.
just
It's
like
just
in
a
the
case.
Jets, CJ Stroud did come out injured and Davis Mills went in.
Yeah.
And he was out the following week. Just Case Keenum, next 2 weeks, Case Keenum and Davis Mills started the following week. So I think that's probably part of it. But losing to the Panthers might be the worst team we've ever seen.
Yeah. With the last few seconds we've got, they've got 8 picks in this draft. They've got the last 2 picks, thanks very much, Cleveland, for the Sean Crosby trade. So a first round pick 23 they're picking. They got 17 million in cap space, the fourth most. And apart from Sheldon Rankins and Dalton Schultz, not much really in terms of contract that's been
Sheldon resigned.
brought up. Has he already been signed?
Yep, he's just resigned.
Oh, excellent. Well, there you go. So nothing to worry
There we
about
go.
there. It's all smooth sailing there for Houston. Excellent. We're moving on to the second team then, the team that finished number two in the AFC South, and that was the Jacksonville Jaguars. 9-8 this year. They were 9-8 last year, so they're down one spot. There's been one change in the front office. They've changed the defensive coordinator. Ryan Nielsen is the new guy. He was the defensive coordinator for the Saints and the Falcons the last 2 seasons. Best game, worst game. Well, they beat the Bills. They swept the Colts, and I was going to put the week one win over Indianapolis, but I switched to the week 12 win at the Texans, 24-21. 364 passing yards from Trevor. CJ was great on the other side, but the Jags did just enough to see them through and to an 8-3 record. Then, of course, it went south. Worst game, they got waxed by the 49ers in week 10, but a lot of teams were waxed by the 49ers this year. There was a four-game losing streak, but three of those were playoff teams. So in a horrific bit of irony, the lowly Titans showed up in week 18 to stop the Jags making the playoffs 28-20, and that was my worst game of the season for the Jags. Boys, let's talk about these Jaguars.
I agree with you with the worst game, week 18. I had the best game, shutting out the Panthers in week 17. It doesn't matter who you play, shutting out another team and embarrassing them,
The
I think is a
Panthers.
big that it's a statement win whenever you shut someone out. So I'm always a fan of that. If you can do that, I think even if it's a 4-0 or whatever it was,
We could have shut
it
out the
would be well
Panthers.
deserved.
I
Hey,
did. I
the
did
four of
note
us.
down the
I did
Panthers
shut out the
for
Panthers.
a potential best game, but
It
it's the
was
Panthers, so I
CJ. It
was
was CJ
reluctant to go
Beathard
with
at
it.
quarterback as well. So just saying. No, I think shutting out a team is a big thing. Listen, the Jags underperformed. They've got pieces. They've just franchise tagged Josh Allen. He should have stayed in Buffalo, in my opinion. No, I think they've got the markings of a good team, but their next season is defined purely by what they do in the draft and free agency because they've got pieces that need to perform. Doug Pederson is very much under pressure. Simple as that.
I watched every red zone every week. I watched most of the primetime games. I don't remember watching Jacksonville and ever feeling like, oh, they're a playoff team or they're really good. They just all season long felt like a middle of the road team that would beat a few teams, would lose to some teams, and just really be a bit of a non-entity. You're right. They did have that little streak where they started winning games against decent teams, but they never seemed to carry it through. You know, it was the fact that to get into the playoffs, you have to win your last home game against a team that is bottom of your division, and you aren't able to do it. That's you shouldn't need motivating for a game like that. You know.
Second year running where that's happened because the year before they lost against the Colts, didn't they? At home, they got murdered by the Colts and failed to get into the playoffs.
No, they got to the
That was the
playoffs last year,
Titans.
didn't they?
Or was that the year before? Oh, my, oh
Yeah.
that's the Titans. Yeah, you're right.
I think you're thinking about the year before, but
That's what was
I,
ironic.
yeah, I just, Jacksonville just never struck me as a team that I trusted to make the playoffs at any point in the season. It always struck me like they're a decent team. They're not terrible, but you never felt confident. So I think even in the picks that last week, I picked the Titans over the Jaguars because I just never felt like, the Jaguars ever really had an identity of what they were. They didn't use Travis Etienne a huge amount. They asked Trevor Lawrence to win a lot of games, but didn't really have weapons around him to help him do that. So, yeah, I think this upcoming season is a really interesting one for Jacksonville because I think they need to make a jump, kind of like the Texans did this year, just to kind of keep that close. Otherwise, the Texans are just going to strangle that division again.
Now, Finn, I will let you go in 1 second. One thing I do want to say, Punk, I do disagree with you on one particular thing.
Of
You
course you
mentioned
do.
about their streak halfway through the season. I distinctly remember you saying it was a fraudulent streak because it was against Atlanta, the Bills who weren't playing well, the Colts, New Orleans, and Pittsburgh, all of which are rubbish teams. And I remember you specifically saying, "Don't fall
Bills
for
was in
this."
London,
Thanks
wasn't
for
it, as
that.
well?
Yeah,
Yeah, it was
it was
London,
a
yeah.
London game, so they had the
Atlanta.
luxury of already being in the
Go on, Finn, you've got
UK.
full
I mean,
35 seconds to...
All right,
Sorry, Finn.
you could argue two of those are playoff teams, but I'm going to let Finn go quick. Go.
I think the thing with the Jags is we've seen it that they've got pieces, they can move the ball when they want, but it whenever it really matters, they just can't get firing. And like we saw, they are playing bottom of the division to wrap it up and get into the playoffs. And Trevor Lawrence just couldn't get going, couldn't get the offense rallied. And if you can't do that in games that matter, you don't deserve to make the playoffs.
Oh, look at that beautiful ending.
I agree.
They've got 10 picks in the draft. They've got 24.5 million in cap space. They need to sort out Calvin Ridley and Darius Williams as starters on contracts. But yeah, and also it's going to get harder because obviously this division is getting tougher because we're going to talk about the third team now, a team that was stymied, obviously, for most of the season. And that was the Indianapolis Colts. So they finished 9-8. Last season, they were 4-12-1, so it's a check there. They stay in third place. No movement on the front office. So Shane Steichen is onto his second season. Jim Bob Cooter, offensive coordinator, and Gus Bradley, at defensive coordinator. Best game, worst game. Did you know that the Colts took the Ravens to overtime in Baltimore and then won the game? It was back in week three, but that was already with Gardner Minshew playing the whole game, 22-19. So I'm definitely picking that as best game of the season for them. Worst game, the week 16 loss at the Falcons was a body blow to squeaking into the playoffs. They took the lead early, then lost it and never got it back as Young Hoku kicked five field goals in that game to win 29-10. Let's have Finn first, shall we? Talk about the Colts, Finn. What do you reckon, mate?
I feel for the Colts because they set everything up and obviously drafted Anthony Richardson and had everything geared up. And when he came in, took him a little bit of time as it would as a rookie, but showed real signs of what he has and what he was going to bring to the NFL. And then obviously, very quickly after, had a season-ending injury, so it meant that they had to shift away from that game plan. But that being said, Gardner Minshew did exactly what you'd want as a backup QB. Came in, he's not going to set the world alight with pure talent, but he does what you want him and you need him to do in terms of going through plays and progressions, moving down the field, and getting points. So I think if you consider where they were in terms of who they drafted and what they were hoping to achieve and where they ended up, I think they will actually take a look back and go, you know what, all things considered, to play the vast majority of the season with our backup QB and still massively improve on last season, they'll be proud with that.
Be a bloody sight worse, yeah.
I had their best game as the week one loss in Jacksonville. Now that sounds weird, but
Because it is
in that game, they found out they drafted a star.
true.
And for me, that as a game, I mean, let's be honest, they played horrendously badly throughout the season and won games. Not one of those wins can be classed as a good game because they weren't. They were turgid and awful. That first week, Richardson came in first ever game. He was the highest passer, highest rusher. And I'm quite surprised he wasn't the highest receiver as well on the team. Looked absolutely great, but got injured and missed the next week. I genuinely think, and that will be seen as an enormous positive. And in somewhat of a lost season, they still managed to be on the periphery of playoff. That says more about the division than it does them, though.
I said all season long that every time you watch this Colts team, they look terrible.
Yeah.
So the fact that they actually ended up with a winning record is exactly what you said, Finn. It's testament to the way that A, Minshew played, B, they were coached, and C, the way the team didn't just drop their heads when their starting quarterback went down. I'm quite excited to see what they do next season. I think a fully fit Richardson in there. I think if they can give him some more weapons at wide receiver, I know they franchise tagged Pittman, haven't they?
They have, yeah.
And
I think
give
he
him
needs
some
weapons.
blockers.
I think he needs blockers. Exactly that.
Yeah.
Get
He
him.
needs it. Just
Get him.
spend all your draft picks on the
Every
offense, you know,
single one.
and just build it up so that he's got depth in the line, he's got depth at receiver. And just let him cook. And, you know, I think, although, like I say, every time I looked at the Colts, they looked absolutely dreadful. They've definitely got something there. There's definitely something happening there. I feel much more comfortable saying the Colts will be better than the Jags next season. And we'll finish above
It'll
them
be
in that
close.
division.
Yeah, I think you're
I
right.
would go with that.
I think it'll be close. I think every single pick, just pick a lineman. Doesn't matter.
Lineman,
I
receiver.
don't care how many picks. If you've got
Just
15 picks,
bolster it.
pick 15 linemen and just get the best ones because you need to protect your biggest asset. Because the drop off, I've said numerous times, Minshew's a really, really good backup. He's not Anthony Richardson. And you need to
He's a
give
backup,
Richardson the best opportunity he can to succeed and you need to keep him upright. It's as simple as that.
How much money they got, Jim?
Just over
A billion.
49 million. That's eighth in the league table for cap space. They got seven picks in the draft, picking 15th in round one. They got us out of Grover Stewart, defensive tackle. Kenny Moore, a cornerback, Rigoberto Sanchez, punter, and Michael Pittman, they've just franchise tagged. So I think they'll be able to deal with that. And yeah, bright future ahead for the Indianapolis Colts. Let's move to the other side of the spectrum then, from a bright future, and talk about the team that finished bottom of the AFC South, and that was the Tennessee Titans. 6-11 record. Last season they were 7-10. They're down two positions, down to the bottom of the division there. Three changes in the front office. Only Rand Carthen, the GM, survives. New head coach in Brian Callahan, 39 years old. He was the Bengals offensive coordinator from 2019. Nick Holes is the defensive coordinator. He was the Jags pass game coordinator last year. Callahan got his first job from Cal. So Callahan got him his first coaching job as a video intern in Nebraska, is what I wanted to say there. And Dennard Wilson is the defensive coordinator. He was the Ravens DB coach last year. Best game, worst game then for the Titans. Best game that week 18 revenge game over the Jags must have felt good. But back when the season was full of promise, the Titans beat the Bengals 27-3 in week four. Joe Burrow played the whole game too, so no excuses there. Worst game, they got swept by the Colts and the Texans in division. There were two games where the Titans only scored 3 points, enough where they were held to six. Yeah, let's go with the 26-3 beating by the Texans. The Titans just did not show up in that one at all.
I've got best game beating the Jags in week 18 because they denied the Jags a playoff spot. So for me, that's it, and especially because it's a division rival. Their worst game, now bear with me for a second, all right? Their
Uh-oh.
worst game is the
Was it a
week
win?
8 win against
Oh,
Atlanta.
come
Do you know why?
on.
Yeah, do you know why? Because it made them think that Will Levis was good, and he's not. He's ass. And
Well,
that's going to
that's
set their
true.
franchise back in years. So their worst game is technically one of their
With a
best games.
win.
You figure that out yourself. You get what I mean.
See, Finn, I told you last week, this is what
You
happens when Dave comes in. It all gets
Yeah.
flipped around and
You
turned upside
don't know what's going to
down.
happen.
Why wasn't I
Do you know
looking at
what?
wins for their
You're all
worst game?
smiling. You're all smiling. That's the thing. That's what we're here for.
It's kind of right,
Oh, you're not wrong. That's why. You're not wrong.
but
Cap space, they've got 75 million at the moment. You know what?
third
This could
best.
be in free agency. This could be the most exciting team we see.
Well, or
Genuinely.
it
Or
is
the
the
most
end of an
exciting.
era, isn't it? King Henry has walked away.
Tannehill's on the block.
Yeah, exactly. You know, for me, I think you're right. I think whatever the Titans do in free agency, they're gonna make big splashes.
Well,
Even if it's not necessarily picking up the players they need, but denying other teams access to those players.
they have nine
So,
starters out of contract if you don't include Tannehill.
yes,
Well, you
and
wouldn't include Tannehill, let's be
no, so
honest.
I'm saying if you did, it'd be 10.
If they cut DeAndre Hopkins post June 1st, they save another 16 million. Like genuinely, they could go out and just be like a kid in a candy shop. It could be amazing, or it could be absolute terrible turgidness. You figure it out.
But no, I mean, last season, the Texans, Titans were abject at best. You know, they beat a couple of bad teams. They beat teams they probably should have beaten at home. Yeah, they were. It wasn't their home form that was their problem. It was their away form.
No, it was their form, just generally.
No, it wasn't. They were they had a better record than both Jacksonville and Indianapolis at home.
Yeah,
but away they only won one game, and you know you can't do that in the NFL. Now, whether or not it actually has any bearing on what may happen, who knows? But you know, if you're only winning one game away, then with that running game, it's just beggars belief, to be honest. Doesn't help when your coach is dancing about on the sideline in a cowboy hat either, to be honest. But there we go. Right, Finn,
me.
The floor is yours.
Well, to be honest, it was just a season of nothing, really. It was
abject nothingness.
Yeah, it's literally all there is to it. You know, they won games and they had glimpses, but as much as they, on paper, the games say a win for the Titans, a lot of them you could make cases that they were sort of gifted wins slash the opponents lost them rather than the Titans actually won the games. Dave goes on about it.
I think you're right, but you've got to remember, we're only a few years removed from them being a boring, you know, abject team to watch who happened to be the number one seed in the AFC. So yeah, I think it's just their MO. It's just the way they play.
Yeah, but I think you can put a lot of that down to the fact that Derrick Henry 4 years ago was just an absolute monster
just put
truck.
The team on his back.
No one, yeah, exactly.
And just did everything for
And
them.
I think the problem is they've ridden that horse as far as they can, and they kind of this year ran out of ideas. And
I remember
you
know,
Will Levis was supposed to be the good idea, but he really wasn't.
Yeah, I remember someone saying he was on the way down. I remember that person being ridiculed as well.
7 picks in the draft, 3 of them aren't theirs. They got a bottom 3 defense this season, so yikes. That is the AFC South done. We can move on to the NFC South. Jesus.
Oh, yay.
Strap in, boys. We're going to start with the team that won, in air quotes, that division. And that is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Finished 9-8. Last season, they were 8-9. So they stay in first place in division. The only change in the front office came offensive coordinator Liam Cohen. He was defensive coordinator for Kentucky last year and the Rams the year before that. But otherwise, Todd Bowles is still the head coach. Jason Licht is the GM. Casey Rogers and Larry Foote, the co-defensive coordinators. Best game, worst game. The 9 wins came mostly against weak teams, but there was a week 15 win in Green Bay, 34-20. Baker 3 for 381 yards and 4 touchdowns in that one. But they won a playoff game against the Eagles, who had made it to the Super Bowl the year before. Doesn't matter, they were dead on their feet. The Bucs still buried them 32-9. Worst game for me, I'm taking the week 17 loss at home to the Saints. The Bucs won a 4-game winning streak. They did nothing against the division rival. Down 20-0 in the fourth quarter, ended 23-13. But it was shocking. Talk to me about the yucks.
Mm-hmm. Everything you just said, I've got nothing else to add. Baker Mayfield looked great. Defense looked good. I think they're a solid middle of the road, lower playoff team. I think they're exactly what you've said. They are. Nothing else to add.
I agree with both best and worst game that you came up with. I think for the major. I think for a lot of the season, it was their defense that saved them. And they've got pieces there that do make it difficult for the opponents to get the ball and score. And, you know, that's what kept them in it, because you get rid of them. The offense isn't doing enough to blow away teams. Yes, they put points on the board, but they're not. You're not watching them each week and going, wow, this is an offense masterclass. You know, we need to take a leaf out of their book because this is how you play football. They do enough to get by and to get points on the board, but they also don't have to worry as much because they know the defense can go out and stop the ball if they need to. So I think it was thanks to the defense that they managed to win this division. But even then, it's the division's filled with so much talent.
The stats do prove you out as well there, Finn. The defense gave from the 13th fewest to the 7th fewest in points allowed, but they were still 32nd in points gained. So, yeah, the defense definitely stepped up. They were still a half decent team this season. Well, don't get it wrong.
Let's be honest. Baker played twice as well as any of us were expecting at the start of the season.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the fact
twice
that he actually
long.
Lasted the whole season was a miracle in and of itself. And yeah, even in that playoff loss to the Lions, they weren't out of the game at any point. They you know, they were feisty for a good portion of that game.
Great game.
So, you know, I think Tampa's one of those kind of weird teams in that they definitely have pieces. Like you said, Finn, they've got a defense. You know, they've got Mike Evans. They've just re-signed Mike Evans. You know,
2 years, $52 million, 35 guaranteed. It's a big deal.
Yeah. I think they need to just find that quarterback that can lead them on. Baker obviously is a free agent. Whether he goes back or not, I don't know. I expect he probably will, to be honest, because I think he'll be settled. I think Tampa will think, you know, why throw the baby and the bathwater out? He kind of proved it in his 1 year prove it deal. So yeah, why not? I get the feeling they can be better.
They won a Super Bowl recently, so yeah, you're right. They could
No. But when you look at the turnover of team, I think they really need a running back, a real good bell cow running back, and I think they need some more help on the back end. I think the cornerbacks occasionally get a little bit flustered and so on and so forth, but. Look, I think Tampa will be better next year. I think in a division that's got New Orleans, Atlanta, and Carolina in it, there is no reason why they can't go and win it again next season.
Yep, I agree about the cornerback. I was going to say center as well because Ryan Jensen had to retire for persistent knee injuries. So that's a shame. He was a very good center, but they're without him. They're going to have 8 picks, I think, in the draft. They've got a 7th round comp, so there's 8 picks for them. But both Devin White and Lavonte David are out of contract. They're inside linebackers.
That's fine.
Well, right. Matt Filer, the guard, and Antoine Prowse. They've got $21 million basically in cap space. So still got room to move.
Track Barrett's left. They've re-signed Mike Evans and they've tagged Antoine Winfield.
Right. So the safety's done. Yeah. Whether they keep Baker or not is interesting because he's not going to go for a discount.
No, he's not going to be discounted this year, but it'll be interesting to see what they do at quarterback.
I know we're over time, but if you liken Baker Mayfield to a boyfriend, you know, it doesn't cheat on you, he's not a drinker.
No.
He's just one of those boyfriends who's a bit lazy, quite boring, spits when he talks, and he's got bad breath, but not bad enough to get rid of, you know. He's just does enough to stay there. He buys you flowers every now and again, although...
Turn your missus here. What's going on?
Oh, no, she left me ages ago,
mate. He's out in himself.
We're going to move on to the team that finished second in the division, and that was the New Orleans Saints. Finished 9-8 last season. They were 7-10, so they went up one position. There is another change in the front office. So offensive coordinator Clint Kubiak is in. He was the 49ers pass game coordinator. He replaced Pete Carmichael Jr., who's been the Saints offensive coordinator since 2009. Joe Woods, defensive coordinator, was new in 2023. So it's just Dennis Allen and then Mickey Loomis, who's been around since the late 1800s. Best game, worst game for the Saints. There were 2 good division wins at the end of the regular season against the Bucks and the Falcons. But in week 5, the Saints actually got themselves a 34-0 shutout in New England. So I'll take that one. Worst game, not too many embarrassing losses. The Bucks' home loss in week 4, 26-9, wasn't good. A 127 passer yard performance from Derek Carr. 51 rushing yards on 11 carries from Alvin Kamara. So I'm taking that one as worst game.
I think the Saints, it was difficult to pick a hard game, worst game for the Saints, because they had a few where they were stinkers, but they didn't lose by too much.
No. Any of the games that Derek Carr played.
Stummed up. I don't think their issue was Derek Carr. I think it was really difficult for Carr this season because at no point this year...
Because he's not a very good quarterback.
At no point this year did any single Saints running back get over 100 yards in any game at all. So it was always, you know, as an offense, a defense who's playing against him, you could just focus on protecting the pass because Alvin Kamara, he's gone. You know, there was one game he was the top rusher against the Rams with 19 yards. 19 yards. This is what they were dealing with. It was awful.
Well, it was the last, was it the last game of the season or second last game of the season, and they decided to get Jamal Williams a touchdown just because.
Jameis Williams, Jameis Winston gave him a touchdown, not Dennis Allen.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the lunatics running the asylum in New Orleans at the minute.
Could be Jameis Winston anytime.
Look, I think Chris Olave is a fantastic player. I think Chris Olave is what they need to build that offense around. I think they need to. They won't do it this year because I doubt they've got the money to do it. But they really need to get off Carr's contract as quickly as they can. He's probably going to be, if he's still on the Raiders contract, I think he's due about 38 or 42 million this year or something. So they'll probably want to look at doing something with that. The Saints were just that up and down team last year, in that, like you say, they never looked amazing, but they never looked terrible. They still had an offensive, sorry, defensive line that did bits and certainly played up at times. But I just feel like they're one of those typical middle of the pack teams that could go either way. If they get the free agency and draft picks right, then they could take a jump of a couple of games. They need to win a couple more games, and they're in that 11 win bracket. So it's not beyond the realms of possibility they could get better. But I also just think that it's also very possible they completely implode and end up with 4 wins next season. I don't know. They just feel like a bit of a seesaw team at the minute, in that you're never quite sure what you're going to get, but they'll always chuck a bomb down the field and see what happens.
You mentioned the cap space. So next year they've got to pay him 51.5 million in cap hit, and the
Oof.
year after it's 61.5. However,
Ooh.
after next season, there's an out in his contract where they can cut him for only 28 million dead cap.
That's the one.
There you go. Plan in place.
Come on, Finn, any thoughts on the Saints?
Thoughts on the Saints are mediocre at best. Whenever they would, some games you'd watch them, and it was one of the days that Derek Carr would just throw and throw and throw and would end on good
And then
numbers,
they'd end
but in
with a
that,
big win.
and they'd end with a big win, and then for the rest of they'd almost save it. It'd be one every 4 or 5 games where they turn up, and then the rest of it they would just really be meh is the only way. I mean, to be fair to them, one throughout the last 5 games to put a bit of pressure on the Bucks, but it wasn't enough to pip them. But otherwise, it's just it's. Yeah, they've got pieces. I think, like Punk said, they need to build around Chris Olave and to move forward. But it'll be interesting to see what they do this off season and where they'll end up.
Yeah, well, they've got 9 picks in the draft. Two of them are the Denver Broncos picks. And they're 17 million in the hole in cap space. But they did sign Jameis Winston to a 1 year extension, so that's nice.
Yeah.
We didn't think they would
70
after what
million,
happened
they'll
after the last game, but there we go.
For 70 million, they'll be able to clear pretty quickly.
Yeah, because the cap's not real, is it? So
It is when you haven't got a lot of money, and the Saints haven't got a lot of money.
they still get away with it. We'll have to have a conversation one day, Dave, because you do love the cap, and it doesn't seem to ever affect the Saints. So,
No, because they're always kicking the can down the road, and now
I was going to
they're
say, we've been saying for about
Where
4 years
the
that
hell is
they're
this
kicking the can down the road.
card?
Eventually, it's going to blow up in their face, but
Yeah,
it
where
never
is it?
does.
It is right now. There is one thing that they can do. I know
Is
we've
it?
gone over, but there is one thing that they could do which would alleviate the cap space. They could, I don't know, re-sign their quarterback to a new deal, turn it all into signing bonuses and spread it over the course of the contract if they believe in him, just
He's one of
saying.
the guys that might do that, though.
His cap hit last year was only 12 million. Do you know that? That's why it's so big next year.
We're
Don't
talking
forget.
about another team now,
Ooh.
because that's more than enough time on the Saints. And we're going to talk about the team that finished third in the NFC South, and that was the Atlanta Falcons. 7-10 this season, 7-10 last season, but they still went up one position. Big changes in the front office. Only GM Terry Fontenot sticks around. Head coach now is Raheem Morris, who was the Falcons' interim head coach in 2020 and the Rams' defensive coordinator from 21 to 23. He brings in offensive coordinator Zach Robinson, who was the Rams' pass game coordinator and QB coach, so an ex-QB himself, and defensive coordinator Jimmy Lake, who was the Rams' assistant head coach and worked under Morris in Tampa. Best game, worst game, I'm taking the Week 5 win over the Texans 21-19. Desmond Ridder outdid CJ Stroud by 80 passing yards, and the Falcons scored 14 points in the fourth to come back from being 18 to 12 down against those Texans. Worst game, they gave the Commanders a win. They lost a meaningless Week 18 game in New Orleans 48-17, but the crowner for me is the Week 15 game in Carolina, where they lost 9-7 to those Panthers. So, the Atlanta Falcons, can anyone nail them down?
Worst game, I had in week three against Detroit. Now, the only reason being is
Really?
because, yes, they started 2-0, and this was their chance for them to prove they're a legit team. So if they'd have gone 3-0, they then got momentum, and they've got three winnable home games against the Jags, Houston, and Washington. And I might look
But
and go, well, Houston are a lot
they
better than we
lost.
thought. Well, that was the game that they won.
But
They
we
could
knew
have
the
lost
Lions were a
7 to
legit
the
team as
Panthers.
well.
Sorry?
We knew the Lions were a legit team, and as Finn said, and I said, they lost to the Panthers 9-7. So how are you arguing the Lions was the worst loss?
Because if they'd have won that game, they'd have been 3-0 going into three then home teams, destroyed any momentum that they had, and they had players get injured in that game as well.
What if the Lions beat the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl? But it didn't happen, did it? So, you know. So I don't understand the argument.
Well, no, I think if they do win that game, they go into the next three home games with the possibility to then become 6-0 coming out of it.
There's some games you expect to win, some games you shouldn't expect to win. They shouldn't have expected to win that game
You're a
in
Panthers fan.
Detroit.
You've got no idea about a Steelers fan. You've got no idea about expected to win games.
I'd be laughing if he was a Panthers fan.
Yeah, it's true.
Absolutely. Hey, Panthers won the Super Bowl more recently than I have. Oh no, got to a
Greg,
Super Bowl.
hold
Got
on.
to a
What are you
Super Bowl.
talking about?
Got to a Super Bowl. I got it wrong. Got to a Super Bowl. Carry
Oh,
on.
Jesus. Anyway, this is how bad the Falcons are. We're talking about other
We've gone
teams,
off tangent
The
there,
Falcons, the
Jeff.
Falcons.
Anything to not talk about
Yeah.
it.
The Falcons last year, it feels like the Falcons had a lost season. Not through any fault of their own, but through their coaching and their coaching staff. Look at that offense on paper and look at what Bijan Robinson was doing week in, week out. And you just think, how are they losing games? What was that Panthers score?
9-7.
17, 12, 9-7. How are you
Nine
losing
seven.
that game? Their defense we've maligned for years. It was a bit better last season. It wasn't great by any means, but they weren't dreadful. They weren't dreadful. I feel more confident in Atlanta taking a step forward next season with fresh coaching, some new blood in there, especially on the defensive side. I think,
Depends who their quarterback is.
Well, yeah, but we'll see.
Rudy's not.
They probably, I mean, Jim will tell me the draft capital in a minute, but I've got a sneaky feeling they'll be one of the teams looking to jump up in the draft. So, I think I look, at the end of the day, they could even go out and probably sign a Kirk Cousins or someone to run that offense for a few years, and it wouldn't be the end of the world. So, they've got an offense. They really do. You look at Kyle Pitts, and all right, his numbers aren't jumping off the page at you, but he passes the iron smell test. Absolutely he does. Every time, I think, Dave, one of your favorite plays from this season was a one-handed catch that he made. They've got players. They really have.
Yep,
Drake
they've
London
also
as
got
well
big
looks
holes, haven't they?
fantastic.
That's the thing.
They have got big holes, and that's what they need to do. They need to start stuffing those holes. And I honestly think the Falcons could jump above the Saints next year, if not at least be in contention for that division.
So, Jim, you mentioned the only person who's remaining out of the old guard is the GM. Well,
Yeah.
if this is the roster that you can build, the GM's the first person who should have gone.
It's a
Because
good roster. We just said it's
there's
a good roster.
decent roster.
They
They got
have decent players, but there's huge, whopping, great big holes in that roster.
7 picks in the draft. They're picking eighth. They got $37.5 million in cap space. Ben, anything you want to say about the Falcons before we move on?
No, in the sense that I think a lot of games, the play calling let them down. Like Punk said, a lot of the coaching and but during the actual game, some of the decisions made and plays called let them down massively.
Absolutely. Oh, well, he's out now, so don't got to worry about that. Not a head coach anymore. So, Before we know it, we're already at the final team for this evening. And that was the team that finished bottom of the NFC South, which is an achievement in itself. And that is the Carolina Panthers, 2-15. Last season, they were 7-10, so down two positions from last season. As you'd expect, a massive turnaround in the front office. New GM, Dan Morgan, replaces Scott Fitterer. Head coach Dave Canales comes across as being the Bucs offensive coordinator. He kicked out Frank Reich, who was then replaced by Chris Tabor, special teams coach. And Brad Idzik is the new offensive coordinator. He was the Bucs wide receiver coach. So Canales getting his guy in there. But Ejiro Evero, the defensive coordinator, sticks around. So he is the same. Best game, worst game. Well, only two to choose from. And it has to be the Week 8 home win over the Houston Texans. There were plenty of games where the offense scored more than 15 points, but only two where they conceded less than 13. They ended the season with a minus 180 point differential. So I'm picking the 15-13 win over the Texans. Worst game, so much shambles here, but they finished the season with back-to-back shutouts. The Week 17 loss 26-0 at the Jags was bigger, so let's go with that one. Carolina, who wants to talk about this? Go on, Finn, have a talk about the Carolina Panthers.
Awful. Done. No.
Sandwich. Is that your two-word review of
I don't do those sandwiches. I just do.
I mean, so do Carolina.
No, I am disappointed with Carolina.
Disappointed!
I think they made some moves in the off-season. They brought in Bryce Young. But it seemed to be a very tunneled vision approach in the sense that they went, right, let's draft Young and he will single-handedly solve all of our problems.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to worry about, you know, giving him any options to throw to or anything like that because he's a man that can do it all. And they very quickly realised that actually, as good as he is, he can't do it all.
Best receiver's now Adam Thielen.
Exactly. They've signed a veteran receiver that had moments, but, you know, he's in terms of a rebuild, going for a veteran is never the option unless you're bringing him in for a little bit of leadership, but then you'd only sign him and you'd have people there for him to actually lead rather than him coming in and being your number one receiver.
Well, they drafted Jonathan Mingo in round two, but he didn't really do anything. So they were just left with scraps.
Mm.
Someone else want to talk about the Panthers?
I'm not even sure I know what the Panthers were last season, apart from just terrible.
Chum in the water.
I mean, the defense wasn't particularly good. The offense couldn't do anything.
No,
I don't. It's very hard to dissect where the problems lie, apart from the organization,
the man at the
as
top,
a whole,
Mr. Tepper.
You know, I do wonder whether, you know, it's all very nice having an NFL team on your CV, as you know, you own an NFL team, but actually, you do kind of need to know what you're doing as well. I don't know, man. I worry about the Panthers. I worry that they'll become. Who would they be like? Kind of like the Cardinals were for 20 years before Kurt Warner showed up, where every single season you can guarantee no more than four wins and they'll always have a top three, four pick. And, you know, I wonder if they're just going to be one of those teams where they just constantly get it wrong.
You mean like the Broncos in the 2020s?
Yeah. No, I can't really use the Broncos because, you know, you have won a Super Bowl fairly recently.
And we have a go at it, at least. I think the problem with Carolina is the fact that, you know, if you're bad, the way the NFL works is if you're like the Texans, Titans, if you're bad, you've got cap space to then be able to do something about it. They don't have cap space. They've got 12 million cap space.
It's better than some, but yeah.
It is better than some, but it's still not great. And they haven't
got a first-round pick is more important.
They haven't got a first
They should
round
be picking
pick.
Number one. They're not. They're picking
they're
second
not.
Round.
So they don't have a first round pick and they don't have much cap space. And if they cut players, they've just re-signed Brian Burns, I think.
The franchise tagged him.
So the franchise tagged him. He's the big guy who could have saved them a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Other than that, they're going to have to get rid of key pieces in order to save money.
CJ it's Henderson, like, DJ Chark, Frankie Louvu, all starters.
Yeah, they're backed into a corner And the only way they can get out is by selling top assets. And like, you haven't got enough to be able to get rid of your top players. Miami do that. You go, fair enough, someone will fill his hole. That sounds weird.
What is
But
going on
it's
with
you boys,
what
honestly.
has happened to this pod? Right in the gutter. But,
1 week off and look at the state, yeah, that's
yeah,
fine.
absolutely. There we go. Those are the four teams of the NFC South. Coupled with the four teams of the AFC South, we have finished the South. It's done. Thanks very much, guys. Next week, we'll do the
We'll do next
North.
week.
We'll do the North next week as we're working our
Cities
way
next.
around the compass in the best way possible. East, South,
Jim's
North, and
fashion.
West.
The most normal way around a compass.
Yeah, always, always.
I
East,
normally do it
South,
this way
Northwest.
myself.
That's how you should do it, right? I'm gonna save the West for last. So next week we'll do the North. In the meantime, of course, if you want to be checking out any other stuff, go on to the patreon.com/finaldown, where you can read stuff that I'm producing. You might even read stuff that Punk produces every now and again, or anyone else wants to produce out of these four.
I'll leave that with
But
you boys, to be honest.
that sounds like he's calling you out on the podcast, lads.
Just suggested. When this comes out, it's probably going to be on Thursday afternoon slash evening. Mr. Finn is going to be out in London, not enjoying himself as he usually does, not with a bottle of
No,
Hennessy
I wish it was, yeah.
and a lady
Yeah,
with a
look forward to
croissant.
it, actually.
He's actually going to be sleeping rough in London for Land Aid. So, if anyone's
Isn't
got
that
any
just
spare
like a
money,
day ending in Y for Finn?
well, it could be. But if you want to give Finn some money for doing this, for sleeping outside in the rough, go to join.landaid.org/fundraisers/landmark2024, and put in a couple of pennies into that. So, well done, Finn,
Yes, well done, Finn.
for doing that, mate.
Thanks, chaps.
Hope it doesn't rain too much for you.
Oh,
Not due to rain, is it?
it's not due to rain,
That
but
means it's
no.
definitely going
But knowing our luck, it's going to
to
absolutely piss it down.
What area of London are you sleeping
Welcome, welcome to the UK in March. Of course, it's going to rain. Jesus.
Yeah, so what area of London are you sleeping in? Where are you?
Brixton.
Shepherd's Bush.
Oh. Didn't
I thought you were
fancy
going to
like
say you're
Staines
sleeping
or
like
somewhere.
Canary Wharf somewhere
No,
else.
Canary Wharf would have been nice, wouldn't it?
Mayfair.
Mayfair, yeah. Someone let you in.
Sleep in the Ritz doorway. There you
Yeah, in the Ritz.
The statement rhino there up until late.
Unlike us, we're gonna get out of here. But thank you very much, guys, for listening. Until next week, I've been Jim. That's been Punt Red. That's been Denver Dave. Thank you very much for listening.